Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
Howdy, I'm just checking out the old channel analytics on the WrestleMe YouTube page, Chris.
Oh,
one of the podcasts
time.
I do. We've started putting the old... videos up online, just checking out the old,
have you made money?
Checking out the old channel analytics. We've not done money. It's just it's a brand builder. We're not doing money. It's not what it's about, Chris.
Brand
crying
building.
Out loud.
Blech.
All we need is a little smile on someone's face. But we have in the last 28 days. It says like you know, like 25k. Our views were like 29k.
Wow,
25k more than 25k more than usual. So we've gone up by that amount almost, right? But we've got video that's outperformed every single last one of them, and it's only been up for a couple of days, right? And it is literally because it is about a sexy wrestler, and it's the all you need is a female wrestler. On your fucking picture at the start of a video, and the views have gone absolutely through the roof. And the video itself is about me and my co-host Mark talking about how weird it is that one wrestler seems to be objectified by her company, the WWE, on Twitter and on social, sort of going, ooh, isn't she sexy and powerful? And,
you're as bad as everyone else now, exploiting her for views.
And we did a bit about it, and I said, look, bang that on the YouTube. The perverts will come in, but they'll learn something about objectifying women. But our editors put the sexy lady on the front by design. You have to, and it's gleaned a lot more views. So what I'm saying is, Chris, the baton is down. You can pick up that baton if you want. You could put a sexy lady on the front of your Abroad in Japan videos and your views will go through the roof. What's your next video, Chris? I'll find a sexy lady for it.
I think it's something like 12 things I hate about Japan.
12 things, 12 ladies. Just 12 ladies. But it is so silly that the algorithm will serve up slightly more visually arresting and sexually arresting images more than... one's about, I don't know, the Coco Beware Strangest Shoot Match Ever, which gleaned much fewer views in much more time. It's depressing, Chris. You try to do your best work and, you know, the thing that's got a bit of grot in it. Oh, dear. The world. The patriarchy. Or as I like to call it, the patriarchy.
Oh, God. That sounds absolutely awful. War crimes. When I started out doing this, my biggest... video was Culture Shock in Japan, and in that thumbnail I used a hentai girl who was topless, right. I think, and
uh-oh.
She was on the side of a barber shop in downtown Sakata, and it was very jarring when I saw it, but that was in the thumbnail, and that drove so much traffic to that video. It was my first video to hit 1 million views. It really took off, and I hate to admit, but I did do that early on. I used to put like Japanese girls in the thumbnails tried to tie it in somewhere into the narrative, because it always yielded far better results than me looking very forlorn and depressed. And so, but I'd get so much hate for it. So I'd have like an attractive girl on the thumbnail. You'd get lots of weirdos click on it thinking, oh yeah, sexy girls were. And that's just me in a room going, oh, I've got a sandwich. It's got strawberries in it. And they were like, oh, who's this?
You've been tricked.
Who's this prick? I hate this guy. He should kill himself. And I got much hate for it. You know, but it's an old trick. Everyone used to do it. Philip DeFranco, that YouTuber guy who talks about news every day, he built his empire by basically having, I think, sort of girls in bras in all his thumbnails. And it was allowed back in the day. These days, you can't get away with it. So, can't do it anymore, fat.
Disagree. Hard disagree. Outrageous.
Well, as you've proven, you can still get away with it. As you've proven.
To the tune of 3,000 views. But it's a whole new world for me, Chris. It's very exciting. Not this part of it, but it's all very exciting. And I'm loving people who've never heard Wrestle Me getting involved and having a watch of some of our stuff.
With your salacious thumbnails. So I'm glad it's doing well.
Salacious thumbnails.
Disgrace, man. Disgrace. Yeah. We've got a story this week from Louise from Hertfordshire. It begins, hello, cacophonous Chris and palpitating Pete. When did this even happen? When did people start putting weird adjectives in front of our names that had some sort of alliteration? It sort of crept up on me and it's just become a thing now, isn't it? For the last year, without me realising it. Back in April 2019, I visited Japan with my friend Jean, like you do. And after some time, in a tiny restaurant in Kyoto, we noticed a handsome Japanese guy looking over. Jean whispered to me, "He's totally checking you out. He won't stop staring." On the way out, he asked the owners to treat us to a dessert with some money he left behind. Amazing.
A dessert.
So romantic.
Delicious.
I thought that was the last we'd ever see of Dessert Man, but Jean insisted that she wanted me to have a holiday romance. Later that evening, Jean and I wrote a letter to this mysterious man with my social media details and left it at the restaurant, as the owners said he worked nearby. To my surprise, he found the letter, and the handsome stranger, Takeshi, messaged me, asking to meet up. The next day, this is insane. The next day, we arranged to meet outside Kyoto Station, where we got into a cab. I assumed we were going out for dinner. Takeshi spoke to the driver about how English could be difficult, but turned and said, but we can talk the language of love tonight. Fantastic. We can talk the language of love tonight. Next thing I know, we've turned up to his apartment. Bloody hell, this is a bit fast. Not a restaurant, as I previously thought. He led me into the main room where he got outside it. Ooh, he knows how to win me over. And we tried to have a conversation, partly using Google Translate. I mentioned I was an animal lover, especially dogs. Takeshi said that he preferred to eat them.
Oh, good Lord.
Is that a sentence? Takeshi said he preferred to eat them. What the fuck? They don't even eat dogs in Japan, for fuck's sake. This then followed with him telling me that he was a psychopath. No shit. I probably should have left a bit sooner. But even after this mental conversation, we did end up sharing a kiss. The moment was quickly ruined, however, when he unexpectedly pulled down his trousers, exposing himself. After communicating that I was not interested, he got the message and put it away. I texted Jean to call me, pretending she needed me back. To Takeshi's credit, once he pulled up his trousers, he did take me to the local station and helped me get on the right train back. Jean's holiday romance mission had failed, but I still appreciate her enthusiasm. Thank you for the laughs, Louise from Hertfordshire. No, Louise, thank you for your laughs. And this story, this is just insane. There's so much to unpack here. I just like the fact that he was aware that he was a psychopath.
Don't unpack it. Yeah. Don't unpack it. That's what he did. I mean, horrific. I mean, just horrific from start to finish. I mean, he should be in prison. I hope he is in prison.
I mean, was he? Did he?
Not right.
He's certainly an eccentric individual, this Takeshi.
He's a sex criminal, Chris, is what he is. I think it's fair to say.
Oh, he's a psychopath by his own admission. Who eats dogs?
Well,
Eating the dogs, that was the red flag, really, wasn't it? And then sort of went downhill.
Or getting his knob out. I don't know. Either way. I mean, one's going to get you in prison, one's not. And it's not the saying that you eat a dog. It's just, I'm sorry that Jean Jean's holiday romance mission had failed. Yeah, but Louise was obviously trying to help out Jean, but just a real... Oh, dear. Never mind.
Bloody Jean.
Sorry you had to go through that, guys.
Terrible.
Careful, careful.
It's just bonkers. I mean, the fact to be honest, the first red flag wasn't the dog eating; it was the staring
dessert.
Of a dessert.
Oh, right,
staring.
It's the please have a dessert.
It's always a bit creepy when someone just sits there staring at you, right? And that should have. Oh, but why did they think to pursue this? Why did they think, yeah, let's go along with the creepy man, let's accept his desserts, and oh, I don't know. There's just. Not this isn't good, but there you go.
No,
romance,
not ideal. But
romance in Japan.
Thank you for your message, Louise, and I hope you have a better time in Hertfordshire.
Yes, no Takeshi there. Yeah. God damn it! But our story, our news this week is also in Kyoto. What have we got going on in Kyoto this week, Mr. Dawson? Is it Takeshi?
Could be. There is a man pretending to be a tour guide.
It's volunteer. Definitely Takeshi. He's a psychopath.
It sounds like it might be Takeshi. Yeah, it's Kyoto's famous Kinkakuji. The Golden Pavilion. It's beautiful, absolutely stunning place. You can eat as much ice cream as you want, which is what I did when I got there. I had my Super 8 camera out. I filmed with a really loud Super 8 camera, which disturbed all of the tourists. And then I ate a lot of ice cream, and we got little fortunes out of a vending machine, and then we went home. We had a lovely time. But according to a tweet that recently went viral online, you've got to look out for a harassing fake guide. He appears to be acting as if he works for a local bus company, talking about helping you to, you know, guide you around the site. But the local government has put out a notice warning people to be on alert for this man, a fake tour guide, and his unwanted behaviour. Not as unwanted as the, you know, we had the story just had, but there is a man who apparently is still visiting the bus stop that everyone gets off to go and see the temple, and he wears a lanyard around his neck that says "volunteer guide," and he's a bit of a sort of local sort of character. He's basically just scamming people. I don't think he actually asks for money, but he basically asks to see sort of personal documents and stuff like that. He just sounds like a lonely old man who's just pretending to be an official tour guide, and he's just kind of like, you know, just showing people around Kinkakuji. When I saw him, apparently, somebody said, a foreign tourist asked me if he was working for the bus company, so I told him that wasn't the case. Someone needs to warn foreigners about this too. They should add a sign in English and other languages next to the Japanese sign saying, look out for this old man and his... Just arrest him! Give him an exclusion order! Give him a blooming ASBO! He's not allowed to go near the fucking historical Golden Temple without a bloody good reason.
Oh, my God. I mean...
Yeah.
This is just another. What's wrong with people in Kyoto recently? Why are these weird stories coming out of Kyoto?
they've been closed up for too long. They've not seen tourists. Everyone's just trying to find a little bit of a hustle.
I just like that sentence. I've seen this old man numerous times. He's become well known in the area, but not in a good way. So, what does he do exactly? He just stands there and pretends to work for a bus company. But what does he? What's he trying to get out of people, though? It's not money. It's just wasting time.
Good times.
Good times.
Just wasting. I like the way you said wasting time. It's what? Just wasting time. I think it's, I think he's just, it does sound like he's just lonely. It doesn't seem like he's extracting money out of people. He's just having a good time.
What would happen if you did that in, like, London?
Right. Southend.
Yeah.
I've always had the fantasy of like just walking, like giving people, because where I used to live in Soho, it's the you know, I mean, I can say now, it was basically a green door.
Doxing your past self, Pete. Above it, back in time, know, right? And break in.
And it was basically a green front door, and actually I might edit that out because people could probably find out. I'm going to write that. Yeah, people could probably impersonate me or something.
Yeah,
I don't know. Address. I'm going to write address docs 44. They used to start the tours. The tour guys used to stand on my doorstep because it used to rain quite a lot because London. They used to start the tour guys there, and I just always wanted to sort of step out and just sort of go, he's not the real tour guide, I'm the real tour guide, and take them on a tour of Soho where I just tell lies about what's happened around here.
Just take a load of tourists into a room, just sit there going, I'm a psychopath. I eat dogs. Do you like dogs? Pete Donaldson's sordid horror tours, honestly. But luckily, these sort of scams in Kyoto are few and far between. We did a video, we did a podcast and a video on scams recently, and the only scams you really need to worry about in Japan are mostly in Tokyo, at bars where people will steal your credit card and fuck it into oblivion. Go and check those out if you want to learn more about scams. But we'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions in the fax machine.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with a fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners? Mr. Donaldson, can it top the story of the week that we had earlier? Can it be better than that?
Colin, hey Chris and Pete, I recall hearing that it's rare for Japanese to wear cologne. This begs the question, why are there so many fragrance boutiques and stands throughout malls? Do they exist just for tourists to spend money, or are there secret perfume rituals? I love that one. That's where Colin's brain went. It's probably some kind of secret perfume rituals. I'll let you answer that, Chris, before we move on to the PS, but is it just, I mean, presumably they still wear cologne. They don't wear deodorant because they don't need it, but I think they sometimes wear cologne, don't they?
They do, but not as much. I remember I used to wear a lot of aftershave when I was a teacher, and we did have a story like 2 weeks ago, I think, where someone said they wore aftershave and then their colleagues said, please stop doing that because you smell too much. And I often got that impression. I used to wear a lot, particularly in the summer months where it's quite hot and sweaty and whatnot. You kind of need it. But then they would always hint that they'd be like, oh, Chris sends here, big smell or something like that. And I'd be like, yep, good. Is that big good? And they'd like sort of hint.
Okay, sugiru. Well,
looking back, I definitely think they wanted me to like not wear as much or like, you know, don't wear it at all. But some of the students would comment on it. Some of the students would be like, I remember one girl who never spoke English for 2 years that I taught her. I walked past her once wearing my aftershave. She went, oh, good to smell. And like, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Good smell. That was the only thing she said in English after 2 years. It was great. So, but yeah, generally I don't just wear it sparingly. Wear it sparingly. Yeah. We got one here from Shelby from Iowa. He says, Chris and Pete, mostly Chris probably, with the rise of digital work, many countries are issuing new visas that allow foreigners to stay in their country while working in their home country. Do you know if Japan has any digital nomad visas? Thanks a ton, Shelby from Iowa. No, Shelby, I think Japan's the last country that's going to issue such a visa, to be honest. What do you think, Pete?
Yeah, I think... great broadband, though. I will say that if you are going to choose a city or a country, rather, in the world to remote work from, I'd choose Japan. Great facilities. Great broadband everywhere. 4G connections on every train in Tokyo. Wow, it's bloody brilliant.
A broadband. I should start my own like brand for broadband, shouldn't I? A broadband. Was that good? Chris Broad brand broad.
I'll probably circle back to that PS that was in the first email, to be honest. At your Halloween party, says Colin, I definitely watched you put your cold glass on Marilyn Monroe's back and quickly turn away. It was very funny. What? Marilyn Monroe? Someone was dressed as Marilyn Monroe?
Yeah, somebody was. And I think I put my glass on their back. I don't remember this. I don't remember. I think I harassed half the... There's 120 people there, and I think I harassed most of them at the Halloween party.
Right, okay. Yeah. Good. Good stuff.
Just abuse my own guests.
Don't go to a party with Chris. Do not go to a party with Chris. That's all I'm saying.
Don't go to the Abroad Japan Halloween party. You will get a glass on your back or something. But I won't be eating any dogs. Don't worry. Phil from Birmingham says, Hi, Critical Chris and Positivity Pete.
I think so. Yeah.
My question.
For love, baby.
My question isn't about Japan, but my question is about Twitter and the proposed $20 fee. It's $8 now, Phil. For verified users, now you have your blue tick. Will you pay to keep it or just let it go? All those years, I waited for my blue tick. Pete Donaldson bullied me. Joey the Anime Man bullied me.
You bullied yourself.
Everyone bullied
me. You're in a prison of your own bullying.
No. It was a year ago, I think, a year and a half ago, I finally got my blue tick, much deserved, long awaited, and now it's going to be snatched away from me for no fucking reason that makes no sense, just to destroy the platform that is Twitter. I do think, you know, the future of Twitter is looking a little bit bleak. It's certainly, I've not seen much encouraging things going on. There was an update for Twitter the other day that I screenshotted, and it was just like written in really sloppy English. It was like, the new update, for $8, you'll have less ads and gooder ads or better ads or something. It was really poorly written and written in a hurry. And the sort of sweeping changes happening there are a little bit alarming. But then
it just seems lots of drastic shifts going on. He's kind of brokered the deal on the back of quite a lot of Tesla shares. And if this goes wrong and it looks very much like his lonely ass is going to drive this thing into the ground, he may be in a situation where he's losing a lot of his cash very, very quickly just because of him wanting to be loved. Very funny.
I think the
whole idea, I guess, of the blue tick, it started as a noble thing to in journalism and people and things.
I've got one. Of course it's noble.
People had to know that that was the correct person because people were impersonating people all the time and scamming people and all this stuff and terrible things were happening. So there needed to be some kind of badge of authenticity, so to speak, Nintendo style. When you remove that and you just give that to everyone, I mean, what? It's just meaningless, isn't it?
It's just devalued.
And I'm saying it was meaningless to a certain extent because I fucking had one. No one gives a shit about whether it's me or not me. But I'm saying that it's just... It's just weird. Somebody tweeted last week saying, why is anybody going to bother paying money for a blue tick when you can get a rat for free? And so I just put a rat on my little tweet next to my name, little rat. And loads of people have been asking, Pete, what's that rat about? And I was and they're saying it in the sort of way, so I go, what have you gotten into? Have you got into some kind of rat enclave? What's going on?
The thing is,
anyone could have a rat.
The verification thing, right? The new $8 tier, whatever it is, you don't need to submit any official documents verifying who you are, right? And to get my blue tick, and I don't know how you got yours, but to get mine, I had to submit, I think, my passport, my driver's license or something, so they could actually validate and verify I was a real person.
They did a load automatically, but it was just, I think you just missed the cut.
I missed the bait.
You didn't have to send anything.
But now it's just like, anyone can have it for $8, and it's just like, I don't get this. But, you know, it's basically, a lot of people want a blue tick. Why not sell it to them? We can make some short-term money while trashing the long-term reputation of the brand. But no, you're right. What I don't understand about Elon Musk is, you know, he's done some pretty cool stuff with Tesla and SpaceX, some incredible things. I don't know why he's taken his eye off the ball of those incredible achievements and activities, going to Mars, building a successful car company. He's sort of taken his eye off, and the Tesla stock has almost halved, I think. I saw the numbers that it's gone from something like almost $1 trillion revenue market capitalization, to something like $600 million market capitalization. And it's...
Because all of the, like, you know, GM and stuff, all of the other car manufacturers caught up. He produced an attractive looking car, a really expensive one, and he had the ears and he had the attention of some slightly underwhelming men on the internet who fucking jerk off every time he does anything. And so when he comes to a point where he buys Twitter, GM and the other big car companies sort of go, well, look, if we pull our advertising, Twitter stock goes down, and because he's leveraged the Twitter buyout from Tesla stocks, Tesla stock goes down, we fucking profit by pulling our advertising from Twitter. It's so cyclical and so obvious, and he's bought Twitter because he's a silly sausage, isn't he? I think everyone had this idea that because he had this, you know, moon money, literal moon money to get to the bloody moon, we had this idea that he was this really fucking together guy. But he's not a Steve Jobs, he's not a Bill Gates. He got relatively lucky with a decent product, and he had enough resources to throw money at something that people needed, and he's just a bit of a flower who gets scared when people have a go at him, and now he's just being a fucking right wing weirdo, as they all go. They all become bloke who did Minecraft. Weirdo. They all become weirdo. Power, money, corrupt, and you just become incredibly thin-skinned. Weird. Yeah, well, weirdos. We've been run by weirdos, Chris.
That's
the opinion of Pete Donaldson.
Elon Musk, Charlotte had a photo of him put on the wall at one point, and I think we took it down because it's just like,
at that point he was a meme. At that point he was fun. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
I think, power corrupted him somewhat, and he became a bit too fixated on his personal image, and he wanted to buy the platform, which was his mouthpiece to the world, right? And his main connection to the world. But, it's a real shame. It's a real shame. Obviously, I've met him, gave him a birthday cake. We're practically best friends. So I look at him and go, come on.
Oh, yeah,
get together.
About that.
Get together, Elon. I go back in time and be like, whatever you do, in the year 2022, don't buy Twitter because it's not going to work out well. It's a shame. It's made me think, maybe his dream of going to Mars won't happen now because he's going to be wasting his time sorting out a shit social media platform that's going to have a very sort of swift fall from grace, perhaps. We'll see. You never know. Maybe he'll turn it around and pull something out of the hat.
Maybe he'll turn it around.
I think it's peak Elon. I don't know. It's a shame. And now that he's sort of gone full-blown Republican, he's going to alienate a lot of people that used to back him and support him and who liked him. And, a cheeky rant about Elon Musk on the Abroad Japan podcast. But he's such a pivotal...
That's what you come here for.
Pivotal figure, isn't he?
That's what you come here for, mate.
He's
Elon-san.
You can't escape Elon Musk these days. I would never have thought that when I gave him his bloody birthday cake back in 2010 or 20, whenever it was, that I was giving the birthday cake to a man who had become not only the richest man on the earth with $200 billion at one point, but a man who would become so famous and beloved and then despised and arguably, one of the most famous faces in the world at this point, you know, Whether you like him, loathe him, whatever, he's a hugely influential figure. And it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But for now, keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to BornJapanPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, do all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do all over again on the Born Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Allow us to be your tour guide to the world of Japan.
No dogs.
We've got a lanyard.
We won't be eating the dogs here. Takeshi.
Oh, God.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.